Blog Talk Radio.
We are live, our very first episode of Sportsaholics 24/7, very first episode of 2014. Happy New Year. Hope everyone had a great holiday. I'm your host, John, joined by co-host Nick. Nick, what's up?
Hey, John. How's it going?
And we're Brandon is expected to join us a little later on. We're going to be trying to get him up on the show. First of all, I just want to, again, wish you a Happy New Year, and just want to let you know that today will be a trivia contest. We already had a caller calling in before the show started who wanted to know the question, but if you want to know the question, you have to call in, we'll tell you the question, then you answer it, and if you answer the question correctly, you'll be put in the Sportsaholics 24/7 Hall of Fame on our Facebook page and our Twitter page. So today we're going to talk about a few things, but let's start off with last night, the Nets game, the Knicks ended up with both the Nets and the Knicks won. That's the first time this season that they both won on the same day. I find that incredible. But last night in the Nets game, Joe Johnson hit an insane buzzer beater against the Oklahoma City Thunder to win the game. And he's been doing this past few years while he's on the Nets, you know, and even on the Hawks he's been doing it. And it was just a crazy shot. And Nick, you know, do you think there's anyone clutcher in the NBA than Joe Johnson? I mean, maybe LeBron, but
more clutch
Joe
than
Johnson
NBA
has hit some
Joe
big shots.
Johnson. Wow. I would say no. I think Joe Johnson is probably the best in the clutch. And the truth is, I'm not trying to be that guy or anything, but I do think that shot was a little overhyped, considering it was Joe Johnson. Because Joe Johnson hits those kinds of shots all the time. If some Joe Schmo hit that shot, Udra hit that shot, then yeah, that's huge. But I'm not surprised Joe Johnson hit that. It was a very good shot, don't get me wrong, but I mean, it was just, you know, mid-range on the elbow. It was really nothing huge, you know what I mean? Joe Johnson, so it doesn't surprise me.
Now, I'm going to disagree with you. I think that anytime someone is a buzzer beater, it's tough. It's like, because you have to know the situation, how much time's left, and you have to be thinking like, you know, I got to get the ball up, but I got to make the shot. I want to take a good shot. And that was a really difficult shot. A defender in his face, fading away, really high-looking shot at the buzzer. So you got to appreciate that. I think that was awesome.
I'm not saying I don't appreciate it. I'm just saying, like, because it's Joe Johnson and he does things like that all the time, I'm not all that surprised, to be honest.
All right. We have Brandon calling in right now. All right, Brandon, what's up?
Not much, Aaron. How's it going?
What do you think about that Joe Johnson buzzer beater last night?
Well, you listen here and you listen good, my friend. Joe Johnson is the most clutch player in the NBA.
Yeah, definitely.
Without a doubt. You look at the numbers. I saw these stats the other day from this guy. One guy, I think it was LeBron James, he was like 0 for 6 or something like that in clutch time situations with under 30 seconds to go and the team down 3, which is interesting. And there are many other examples like that. Kobe Bryant, they mentioned. Steph Curry, someone asked about. Kyrie Irving. Carmelo Anthony had a really bad stat line, I remember from that. But what I remember is Joe Johnson's stat line was 12 for 14 in a Nets uniform alone. That's incredible. Honestly, he's so good in the clutch situations. And even though he did shoot, like, 3 for 10 last night, was it? I think it was 3 for 10. He still somehow managed to hit the game winner over Serge Ibaka's menacing hands and win the game for the Nets, which is something they desperately needed.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a That's a good point. They really needed that win. And a lot of people are saying, you know, maybe this win could turn around the season against a great Oklahoma City team, another without Russell Westbrook. But at the same time, they have Kevin Durant, and the Nets played great defense on Durant. And what I noticed about this game in terms of coaching, Jason Kidd was up, he was jumping, he was yelling, he was into it. And that's what the Nets need. They need a coach to fire them up, to get them a little motivated. And when Jason Kidd just sits on the bench, it doesn't work. He was up, he was screaming, he was jumping around, coaching, and they won.
He has to do more than spill drinks.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. This is definitely not the end-all, be-all for the Nets right now, but this is definitely a good place to start. Winning a game against maybe the best team in the league right now, without Westbrook, yes, but still, Kevin Durant had a great night last night, and there's nothing much you can really do about him.
Yeah. All right, so once again, now we're going to be opening up the phone lines for people to call in to answer our trivia question. How that works is, you call in, we will tell you the question, and you'll have about 10 seconds to answer it. Last time, Mike from Queens called in and did not get the question correct, but if you do get the question correct, you'll be put in the Sportsaholics 24/7 Hall of Fame on our Facebook page and on our Twitter page. And now let's move on to some college football. We had a big bowl game tonight, the Orange Bowl, Ohio State, Clemson. But first let's talk about last night the Sugar Bowl was a good game. Oklahoma rolled over Alabama. But the two best games, I think, so far this bowl season have been the Chick-fil-A Bowl between Texas A&M and Duke and the Rose Bowl between Stanford and Michigan State. And, for me, watching that Chick-fil-A Bowl, I'll be honest, I have not watched Johnny Football play a lot, Johnny Manziel, quarterback for Texas A&M. I've not seen him play a lot live. I've seen the highlights. But what he did in that game, some of those plays were incredible. The one where he escaped the blitz by jumping on top of his offensive lineman, then rolled out and threw a touchdown pass, that is incredible. And I know Nick and I were talking about this earlier, how exciting that game was. Nick, what's your take on that game and on Johnny Football?
Well, basically, Texas A&M should bend on their knees and just thank Johnny Manziel, basically worship the guy. He won the game for the team. I truly do think that he won the game for the team. His excellence. However, at the same time, Duke is really, let's face it, Duke's not a very strong team. I'm actually kind
Well, this year they were good.
When I was watching that game, what? They're a decent team, but they're not like Texas A&M. But here's the thing with Texas A&M. Here's their main problem is their defense. That game against Duke was the worst defense I have seen in my life. All Josh Sneed had to do was take a step to the left to get for a touchdown. All they received, Jameson Crowder had to do was jog, and he gets behind Texas A&M's corners. Texas A&M's defense was absolutely atrocious.
All right, looks like we just lost Nick. He had some bad service, I guess. Brandon, now, what do you think Johnny Manziel's pro potential is? Should a team take? Should maybe the Texans take him now with Bill O'Brien as their head coach?
No way.
Unfortunately,
no way.
Should they take
Bill
him
O'Brien.
Now? All right.
Bill O'Brien is either going to play it safe and draft Teddy Bridgewater, or he's going to trade out of that pick and try and go lower, but not too low, so that he can get a star quarterback and get another defensive player. Maybe say, if he trades down, it gets maybe like the fourth pick or something. He may use that pick on Anthony Barr out of UCLA, but I don't see that happening. I see him drafting Bridgewater, number one overall, and the rest of the draft will go according to hand up until the Cleveland Browns with the fourth overall pick. Johnny Football, you better start flying and looking at apartments in Cleveland because that is where you are heading should you enter the NFL draft. The Cleveland Browns desperately need two things, a difference maker and a quarterback. And Johnny Football not only is both of those things, but he exceeds the standards of both of those things. He can keep plays alive. The Cleveland Browns have a lot of talent already on that roster with Josh Gordon at the wide receiver position and Jordan Cameron, the tight end. And I think if Johnny Football went into that place right then, and the Cleveland Browns maybe drafted a running back or a speedy wide receiver, maybe in the third round, say DeAnthony Thomas out of Oregon, I think this team could potentially be a dark horse to the playoffs, maybe a 9-7, 10-6 max team should Johnny Football play the way we think he will. And I think he will,
right,
by the way. Everyone thinks so.
All right. Now, we have Nick back on. Nick, sorry about that. It looks like you had, I don't know, a bad connection. You're kind of going
out.
Yeah, I don't
know
what
happened.
Yeah. All right. So, once again,
Johnny, I really do think that it's in the Browns' best interest to get Johnny Manziel because, basically, they need a quarterback. They have never had a good quarterback. That's the main reason why they haven't been successful. If you think about it, they have a very strong receiving core, so Johnny Manziel would work with the receiving core because he has a good arm. He's a little inaccurate, but
Everyone's inaccurate.
That'll get better over time because he just came out of college, and he'll be able to get away with it a little because the receiving core is so strong between Josh Gordon, Greg Little, Devon Best, and Jordan Cameron. And the Browns lack a running game, and Johnny Manziel has always led his team in rushing. So it's sort of like they kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah. I mean, whoever takes Johnny Manziel is going to be getting a very talented player. Now, it's come to my attention that it looks like we are having some issues with our broadcast. So if you're listening right now, great, but we're trying to fix this. Sorry about that. But once again, if you want to answer our trivia question, just call in. That number is 347-884-8496. And we'll give you the question and you answer it. Let's talk a little about the Rose Bowl between Stanford and Michigan State and that legendary Stans, the Michigan State linebacker, forgot his name, number 41, he started off as a walk-on and played in place of Max Bulla, who was suspended for that game. He jumped over the pile and made the tackle to win the game for Michigan State. And for me, that play calling by Stanford was pretty interesting. I don't know why they wouldn't give it to their star running back, Gaffney, on fourth down when they gave it to him on third down. And they just went right into the defense. Why not go a little outside, Let your guy make a few guys miss and just all you need is one yard. So what do you guys think?
Well, personally, John, to be completely honest, I kind of thought the Rose Bowl in its entirety was pretty boring, considering the fact that it was the 100th anniversary of the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all, and two great teams up against each other who have very different play styles, very different head coaches, and very different players in terms of their abilities on and off the field. To be completely honest, my expectations weren't, like, sky high for this game, but when I watched it, I didn't really feel like it was a great game. The Fiesta Bowl was a great game.
The
Sugar Bowl last night was a great game as well, mainly because Bama lost, but regardless.
No, how is the Rose Bowl not a great game?
I felt like there wasn't enough excitement. And that's not to say they didn't put up enough points.
How is that not exciting?
Falling out of the sky?
I don't know. From the games that happened in this season, especially in college football, I kind of felt a little bit disappointed, not only to see, like, the amount of plays that went, for maybe 1 yard or 2 yards or something like that.
So what? It's not all about offense.
It has nothing to do with offense. The only play that really stood out to me was that ridiculous pick six at the end of the second quarter.
Just because it's the 100th Super Bowl isn't going to make it more exciting.
Rose Bowl.
It's still football. It's not going to change anything. Just because it's the 100th Rose Bowl. Why does that matter?
It's just all the pageantry. It's just the fact that it is.
Okay, yeah, Brent. Brandon, I have a question. What would you have liked to see?
I don't know. I would like to see.
Okay, exactly.
You'd like to see
a good game? That was a great game. It came next to the very end. This is crazy, Brandon. I don't know what you're saying right now because that was an incredible game. Came down to the very end. It was a goal line stop. Well, not a goal line, but a fourth down one stop to win the game.
I did think the game did gain a lot of importance at the end of the game, especially that last play with the Rudy-esque kind of story that kid had. That was a great play, but.
But how is that not a great game? That is a great game.
I don't know. I just and don't trust my opinions because I just didn't feel like it was a great game.
All right.
Okay then. All right.
All right. Well, you know,
Nick and I are gonna
disagree with that strongly.
Okay.
Hey,
you know what? That's okay.
Make the world go
right. Right. All right. Yeah, Nick, you're right. So, you know, again, looking at that game, and then the Fiesta Bowl was high scoring. The Sugar Bowl last night, Bama got a little taste of our medicine there. With, Bama couldn't do anything.
I'm shocked. I'm really surprised because Bama has the full package. They have a very strong defense. They have a very good running game. They have excellent receivers, and they have a good quarterback. Now, here's the thing. They're defenders. They have some of the smartest defenders in college football between HaHa Clinton Dix, C.J. Mosley, Landon Collins. They're all very strong. Now, I'm very surprised that the defense didn't manhandle Oklahoma's offense. I'm really surprised. Trevor Knight played a great game. His receivers played great games. It's not even so much that Alabama played uninspired football. It's just that Oklahoma State happened to play so great, and Bama were a little off themselves. Honestly. And another thing is that they didn't play the way they usually do. Usually they have a big mix between running, passing, play action, and all that. From what I saw last night, mainly it was all A.J. McCarron just trying, scrambling to throw a pass to Amari Cooper or D'Andre White. That's basically all it was. Yeah, I didn't see that variety that I usually see. There was hardly any play action. They really didn't run the ball very much. I don't know why they didn't use all the weapons that they have. I just don't understand that. I just don't understand that.
Honestly, I completely agree with you. And I think one of the main reasons Alabama didn't play as well as we expect Alabama, the Crimson Tide, to play is mainly because, and forgive me for being a bit ridiculous, but what happened the last time they played on the football field with the whole dramatic and finish to the Auburn game? I honestly think that game was still lingering in their heads while they were playing Oklahoma in the Sugar Bowl last night.
Yeah.
And I honestly think it just got to them, and they weren't playing as well. Also,
all right,
Oklahoma
guys, sorry,
played maybe
the... We have a caller right now.
All right.
All right, who do we have calling in right now?
This is Ira.
All right, Ira, are you here to answer?
Okay. Yes, I'm still here.
Hello? What's going on?
Ira?
I think Ira's in hysterics. I don't know why. Ira, you still there?
John? Brandon?
Yeah. All right.
Is John
so, while John sorts it out between Ira, back to what I was saying before, Oklahoma may have played the best game they've ever played under their head coach, Bob Stoops, in the past, since his entire coaching career, they may have played their best game of football. I mean, did they win a national championship under Stoops?
I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure they did. But even then, the fact that they went in to the Sugar Bowl playing a depleted Alabama team, forget about the whole kick six. It's still the Alabama Crimson Tide. And they didn't just beat them. They beat them down. They made a mockery out of the Alabama team.
No, they didn't make a mockery. You act as if they killed them, like 42-3. I mean,
Alabama, the defense of Alabama, led up as many points as they did, and that's only happened, three times since Nick Saban happened? That's unbelievable.
Look at how strong Alabama's defense is. Like I said, between HaHa Clinton Dix, C.J. Mosley, Landon Collins, they have a very strong defense, and their defenders are all very strong. like C.J. Mosley and Hassan Dick, can read offenses perfectly. They are very smart, and they are pretty NFL-ready, which makes
That's
me...
Right. And
I think those are the best defenders in college football. I take them over Clowney any day.
No, I think those are the tandem, I would say.
Those are the what?
The best two-defender tandem in the league.
Yeah. All right, John, you're back?
All right, I'm back right now, and we have that call back up. I apologize. My phone went dead. We have this call back up to try to answer a trivia question. I believe it was Ira.
Right.
So, do we have Ira here?
Yes.
All right, Ira, where are you from?
Poughkeepsie.
All right, so, Nick, why don't you ask him our trivia question?
So the trivia question is?
Yep, ask him what it is. I can ask him, I guess. Nick has it.
What catcher hit the most home runs out of any catcher? Like, what catcher hit the most home runs?
In his career.
In the career.
Oh, I know this.
Don't say it,
Brandon. Ira, what's your answer?
It's hard to hear you. You're breaking up.
Okay. Nick, repeat the question.
What catcher hit the most home runs out of any catcher in baseball history?
Mike Piazza.
Very good. And how many did he
that
hit?
That answer is correct.
Okay, Nick, no one's going to know how many home runs he hit.
Yeah.
I was just asking, for extra credit, do you know how many?
33.
33?
Okay,
Ira,
Ira, do you happen to know Mike from Queens by any chance?
Ira, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to hang you up.
Wow, it's
okay,
33.
That was bad.
All right, Ira from Poughkeepsie, thank you for calling in.
He did get the question right, so I guess we got to put him up
on the
hall.
He will go into our Hall of Fame.
Beautiful. All right, so back to what I was saying earlier.
Back to what you were
saying. Let's go on to the NFL.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go on to the playoffs.
Well, let's talk about the game Sunday.
Playoffs? Let's talk about playoffs? All right. Let's talk right now. I think for me the most interesting matchup is going to be the Chiefs-Colts, I think.
I agree with that.
Will Andrew Luck be able to figure out this defense and, you know, trying to mix Trent Richardson in there? It's going to be interesting how they attack that aggressive front seven, and they have a great back four as well. So, and in terms of the Chiefs' offense, you know, they rested a lot. They rested 20 out of the 22 starters last week in their game. So I'm going to be interested to see how they bounce back. You know, are they – I know that one game does make a difference. That one game off makes a difference. So, Brandon, what do you think about this? Who is going to win this game and why?
Well, personally, first of all, the big difference maker for the Chiefs, Kambahali, is most likely going to be out for that game due to an injury. So I think that's going to take a big shot to the Chiefs' defense. But I think that Alex Smith can pull out this game, and I think the Chiefs win in a very, very close-knit game. I think he's going to pull away, and Jamaal Charles is going to have 150 yards on the ground. And I think the final score, it may not be as high-scoring as everyone expects, but I think it'll still be a great game to watch. Now, for me, though, the most interesting matchup is Packers-49ers at Lambeau Field, and I'll explain why.
Okay.
There are three major storylines here. One, Aaron Rodgers is coming back. You know, last week he came back from his first game since the injury against the Bears a while back, and he played great. So I'm wondering, you know, can he keep it up in the playoffs? Can he continue this role of success against the great 49ers?
Standards, Aaron Rodgers did really not play that great against the Bears.
No, but he did win
a game. Two picks. He threw even three picks. He really, a lot of times, he just barely won. Now, I do think, though, that Aaron Rodgers is going to play better next week because I do understand that the first week back, he's rusty. So I do kind of understand that. But to say that he played very well last week against the Bears is just ridiculous. Anytime earlier in the season, Aaron Rodgers, the Packers with Aaron Rodgers would have blown out the Bears.
Yeah. Now, the second key storyline here is, you know, what happened last year where these two teams met in the division round of the playoffs. And can Colin Kaepernick keep that string of success going against the Packers like he did last year? Can this team come in and beat the Packers at home at Lambeau? And that's where the third storyline comes in, the weather. It is going to be negative 30-plus degrees at Lambeau Field that night. It is going to be the coldest game of the year. And I'm really looking forward to sitting by my fireplace and seeing how these two teams can play in the cold. And that's where I think the Packers have a big advantage, and that's where I think the Packers are going to win that game as well.
Well, I do see.
Yeah.
I do kind of see what you're saying there, Brandon. I mean, you never know. It's very hard to tell. I mean, I do like the Niners' defense a lot. They really do have a strong defense. I don't know. Aaron Rodgers can be very unpredictable. Kaepernick can be unpredictable. Aaron Rodgers obviously has a lot more experience than Kaepernick, also in the cold weather. But I really don't think that's going to be
These playoffs are dedicated to the weather, especially considering the Super Bowl is going to be at MetLife Stadium in an outdoor cold weather facility. So what I'm thinking is these whole playoffs, you have to not only test your strength against the other team, you have to test your endurance against Mother Nature. Because if you can't beat Mother Nature, you can't beat anybody.
Yeah, I really do see what you're saying. But I don't think it's going to have as big of an impact as you think it will. I think that both teams are, no matter what happens, I really think it's going to be a close matchup. A lot of it is really up to the Niners defense and the Packers defense based on, the Niners have a very strong running game with Frank Gore. And a lot of that game is going to have to do with how well the Packers can defend the Niners running game. Niners are also strong pass rushers.
Right.
So a lot of it has to do with that too.
Right. But my theory also comes into play in another matchup this weekend. It's the Eagles and the Saints. First of all, it's going to be just as cold in Philadelphia. It may not be negative 30, but it'll certainly be cold. And the Saints come from a nice, warm, dome weather, recreation team. And they don't play well in the cold. In fact, not only that, they've never won a road playoff game in franchise history. And should they win here against Philadelphia, they're going to move on to Seattle. And we all know what happened when they played the Seahawks the last time.
Now, hold on. Now, I do see what you're saying, but from what I've seen from the Eagles, the way they played Sunday, I don't see them. I don't care what team they're playing. They are not a good playoff team. The Eagles are not a good team. They're an okay team. They're really not a good team. The Saints are a good team. The Eagles are not going to be able to beat the Saints. The Eagles beat Kyle Orton by 2 points. Kyle Orton. And they were expected to blow him out. And they did not play. You can't tell me the Eagles played a good game on Sunday. They should have won by at least 10 points.
Well, look, I think the Saints will win that matchup just because of the talent that is on the Saints.
Oh, sure.
And the fact that Chip Kelly is a rookie coach and he has never seen anything like Drew Brees yet. And I think the Saints are going to pull that out. And to be completely honest, this is what the entire playoffs are all about now, is the weather. For me.
All right, guys, we have just under a minute and a half left. Just some good debate, but we're going to have to start wrapping it up. And I had a request to talk a little hockey. Looks like we're not going to have enough time today, but next episode, maybe you could try to. Maybe we could talk a little, we could do this a little closer to the Olympics, but a little Team USA hockey. That's something I look forward to a lot.
Yeah. All right, so hold on.
We can talk, about that.
Hold on, Nick, what are your final predictions for this week?
My final predictions?
Yeah, who's going
to
win?
I say the Chiefs are going to beat the Colts. The Saints are going to beat the Eagles. The Bengals are going to beat the Chargers. And the Packers-Niners game? Wow. That's very hard for me to say. That is going to be a very interesting game. But I really do think the Bengals are going to beat the Chargers because the Chargers barely beat the Saints with all their backups. I mean, Chase Daniel. And they
still beat them.
Anybody. And the fact that the Chargers beat them in overtime is a proof that they're not going to be able to beat the Bengals.
All right. Nick, we have to end
this. Very simple. Chiefs, Bengals, Packers, Saints. Done.
But the Packers one is not simple.
Thank,
that's going
to
be
Nick, we have to end it. Nick, the show is not, Nick, the show's ending. All right.
Nick,
thank you
Nick,
for listening. We're sorry. We're having some technical difficulties. We're going to try to get this back up and running. But thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. Thank you.